When you read the gospel accounts of the Lord's Supper being established, one of the things you notice is that each one of the gospel writers took note of specific aspects that the other gospel writers may not have noted. And it seems that each time we take the Lord's Supper and we bring our focus to this event, our commemoration of the Lord's Supper, the same thing happens to us. It's so possible. Not that the Lord's Supper has different meanings at different times. It doesn't. But it does bring a focus in our minds and to our lives that may be different depending on the occasion. I'd like to read God's Word with you and just reflect on some of the things that were clearly on Jesus' mind when He established the Lord's Supper. Let's stand together, and you'll see it on our screen, but I'm reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And when the hour came, He reclined at table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Let's read on. "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. The Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. May God bless our reading of His Word, and you may be seated. You read Luke's account, it can be a little bit confusing because it seems as though he starts and stops and resumes. He begins with a cup. He turns to the bread. And then another cup. Well, don't forget that this was attached to the Passover meal. The cup that is first mentioned by Luke is a common conclusion to the Passover meal. And in effect, Jesus was saying, this is not over. There's more to this. And so He passes the cup around with that in mind, that we're not done here. We're not through. It's apparent that Jesus has several things in mind as He's initiating this, what we call the Lord's Supper. I guess technically, this is the only Lord's Supper. This one that we've just read about. What we do is not the Lord's Supper. It's a commemoration of the Lord's Supper. It is our communion. Apparently, there will be another. That's on His mind. But from the very outset, in verses 14 and 15, He has the agony of the cross already in mind. Jesus was crucified the day after Passover. And he had to be removed from the cross before the Sabbath. In between the Passover and the cross, the agony began. It may well have begun for him at this meal, because he has in mind the suffering that he would endure. This suffering was a part of the plan of God from the beginning. It was always God's view that his creation to him was worth redeeming. And from the very beginning of man's failure and sin before God, God demonstrated the means by which he would redeem and atone for human sin. When Adam and Eve sought to conceal themselves and felt the shame of their nakedness, they made for themselves clothes, but God did better. God made skins for them of animal skins, dressed. These animals had to be killed. This is a type. It's typology. It shows us that in the future there's coming a time when a covenant is going to be made with a nation. And that covenant is going to be represented as a very bloody covenant. One that is manifest and remembered year after year after year through a Passover. And every year when that Passover is observed, there is a recollection, a reminder, a remembrance takes place, and it is the remembrance of their sinfulness. So says Hebrews 10, verse 4. They could not observe this Passover meal and not remember that it was through the shedding of blood that God and they were restored. He says in verse 15, he said to them, I have earnestly desired. In the original language, this is a repetitive term. It is the same word used twice. Epithomia, epithusemos. I have desired with desire. There's a burning in his heart to do this, to eat this meal. It wasn't the first meal that he had eaten with these disciples. It was likely the third meal he had eaten with these disciples called Passover. But it was this one that he was burning within to observe with them. What could it have been? Read on. To eat this Passover with you before I suffer. It was this suffering that was on his mind. And while we may think that in the garden it was the suffering that Jesus was seeking to avoid when he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, this would change and redirect our thoughts, because he earnestly desired to observe this meal, because it was him taking over the type and becoming the anti-type. He is becoming the very thing that all the sacrifices before have pointed to. It is coming to the crescendo of God's redemption plan. I have burned within myself to observe this meal with you. His suffering was in view. It was on his mind. But so was the kingdom that he would establish. Throughout the Gospels, we have this divine tension. especially Matthew, points out that Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's now. What was he talking about? Well, of course, he was talking about himself. He was the kingdom of heaven. And as we Christians fellowship, we fellowship in the body of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. Think about this for a moment. We are of another realm. While we dwell on this earth, we dwell within the kingdom of God. But the tension is that the kingdom is not yet. It is not here. It is, but it isn't. Because Jesus says, I will not eat this meal until I eat it in the kingdom of God. He says it twice. He says it in verse 16. He says, For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then verse 18, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So how is it that the kingdom came when Christ came, and the kingdom is yet to come? Well, to put it bluntly, he's coming again. Amen. And when he comes again, it will not be to establish a kingdom within. It will be to establish his kingdom throughout. He will not be sitting upon the thrones of our hearts, but he will be sitting upon the throne of David, ruling the new heaven and the new earth. There's a kingdom yet to be established. And when Paul recites this story to the believers in Corinth, he says, specifically, that we are to remember the Lord's death till he come. So even before the cross, Jesus is thinking about the conclusion. When the kingdom finally and fully comes. So he's thinking about the suffering that he's going to endure. He's thinking about the kingdom that he's going to establish. And he's also thinking about the remembrance he expects. He tells them to do this. He tells them to do this and to do it in remembrance of me. How could they forget? Well, at that moment, they couldn't. It was going on. It was in their faces. For the next several days, they would perhaps reflect on this. They could not forget him. He was the center of attention. But we're 2,000 years removed. And every day in the life of these disciples post-resurrection even, while they may have been affected, life went on around them. And it is possible to forget. Don't ignore the fact that this was tied to the Passover meal. The Passover meal was a remembrance meal as well. They were to remember the deliverance that God had provided for the nation in what we call the Exodus, the deliverance from Egypt. And they were to recall it because it was a monumental day, the demonstration that God is a saving God. God is a deliverer. It's the same for us. He expects us to remember it. He expects us to remember that He is a delivering God, that He is a saving God. He expects us to remember how. But just as importantly, why? He has delivered us because God has endowed us with eternal value. When God created us in His image, the value was placed within us. That value never dissipates. We are valued because He said so. Because He made us so. So valuable are we to Him that He will execute His own Son for our redemption. How could we ever forget? But we do. And so we observe this meal because He expects us to remember. And finally, look at verse 20. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you." This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. On his mind was a turning of a page. History would never be the same. We even, in our calendar, reflect before and after our Lord. But most specifically, before and after the cross. Something was happening. He was showing them that something important was happening, and it was represented by that cup. That cup wasn't His blood. It did not mysteriously transform into His blood, but it was, as the Reformers suggest, it was symbolic. And when we take this cup, nothing mysteriously happens to the element. The juice doesn't turn into the blood of Christ, nor does the bread become the flesh of Christ, but they picture. And the reason they picture the body and the blood of Christ is because these are the substances of which this new covenant is made. The Old Testament, the word covenant means cut, brith. And it is how covenants were made. Almost every covenant between men, entities, was affected by the shedding of blood, by cutting something. This is the new cutting. A new covenant is being established. There is a new God-ordained way to relate to God, and it is effectuated by the cross of Jesus Christ. We now relate to God, not in a temporal manner. where some of our sins per day are washed or cleansed or forgiven by the blood of goats and doves and bulls or rams or lambs. We are once and for all forgiven of each and every sin because he has cut the covenant for us. Do you think about these things when you take communion? Let's think about them today. I will ask you to remove the bread from this, what did Judd call it earlier, this juice pack? Hold it until we've all got it open. And I believe, Brother Sergio, you're going to pray and lead us to the Lord, thanking him for the broken body of Jesus.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you deserve our honor and all glory. During this time of reflection and victory, Father, we thank you for your Son, the bread that came from heaven, for his obedience to take our place, for his obedience to take our punishment. Mm-hmm. Through his broken body, Father, we see your love and your mercy. We ask that you help us today to reaffirm our faith in this sacrifice. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Before we take this, do not overlook the fact that whereas the Passover reminded us of our sin, communion, the Lord's Supper, reminds us of our forgiveness. This is my body, which is given for you. Brother Trinidad is going to lead us in prayer as we thank God for the shed blood of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble together, Lord Father, worshiping and honoring you, dear God, remembering, Lord, what you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for suffering for us and for dying on that cross and shedding of your blood to wash us the sins away. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness you've given us, Lord. We thank you, dear Father, for then clothing us with your righteousness, dear Father, and so that we can have a fellowship with you each and every day, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for just loving us and demonstrating that love for us. For all this we ask in your holy, holy name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Before we drink this, did you notice that Jesus did not name the one who would betray him, though he was at the table? And the disciples all wondered, will it be me? Is it me? All the way up to the end, there was an opportunity for Judas to repent, to change his heart and mind. Do you ever wonder how deep the grace of God goes? Remember the cup.